Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Last week, we started John chapter 6, and we went through the first 21 verses, and we talked about test of faith, and faith must be tried. There were 3 points, in verses 1 through 4. In order to find faith, you need to make the decision to go look for it. And then once you find it, you need to follow it. And so, in verse 1, the people need, you need to know, in order to find faith in Christ, you need to know where Jesus is. And these people followed him in large crowds up to a mountain. You need to know what Jesus can do. He could heal. But it's more than physical healing. He can give you eternity. He can give you a home in eternity. And then the last thing is you need to know where Jesus goes. So he goes up on a mountain on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and then all these crowds come, and they just followed him so much that they didn't stop to eat. And so this is a miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So in order to follow in faith, you need to find faith for it. Verses 5 through 15, finding faith when famished. So all these people were up there listening to Christ, and it was evening. And the disciples said, send them all away so they could go get food, because we can't take care of them. And you know, a lot of people just want to get rid of responsibility. They don't want to take responsibility for anything. But boy, if you have God, God can do a miraculous thing if we have what? Faith. And so, Christ tells Philip, he says, go feed them. What? We don't have enough money. Andrew says, well, we found these fish, but that's not enough. But we know what God did. Little as much when God is in it. Remember? With God, nothing is impossible. So adversity, this issue of feeding all these people, should get your attention. And our assets pale in comparison to what God can do with them. 5 loaves and 2 fishes with 15,000 people or so is insignificant. But nothing's insignificant with God. And then lastly, or next, accruing is ineffective without faith. And then action is necessary to see faith work. And we talked about how he set them down in companies. Everybody there got fed. Everybody there knew Jesus, needed to know Jesus and what he could do. And in the end, allowing Christ to work with what you have is essential. And how many baskets were left? 12. One for each of the disciples. Abundance is available through faith. Everybody ate, and everybody was full. Then the issue is what do you do when you see God work in your life? Do you acknowledge it as God working, or do you acknowledge it as some sort of coincidence, or some sort of karma, or some sort of fate here? They said, well, here's a prophet. No, he's the Messiah. And they basically said, hey, let's make you king. You can feed us all the time, and you can be king. They wanted a political Messiah instead of the prophesied Messiah. So, finding faith when famished. God will get your attention. And folks, we are all spiritually hungry. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Verses 15 through 21, finding faith with fatigue. Now, Christ sends the crowd away. Christ stays up on the mountain. He went apart because they wanted to make him king. There was going to be this coup thing happening here. He didn't want any part of that. It's not his time. It was not his plan and not his way. And so he went to the mountain to pray. He sent his disciples to the other side. And he knew what was going to happen. Just like he knew what was going to happen with the feeding of the crowd. So he tells the disciples get a boat. They get on a boat on the east shore. They're going to the west shore. They get out in the middle of the lake where they much effort to go backwards as it is to go forward. And that's where God wants to put us. He wants to put us in a position where it has to be by faith. And so they're out there in the middle of the night between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning rowing. And they don't get very far. And they're struggling. And so, when late and lonely, when languishing in effort, and then all of a sudden, Christ comes and starts walking, not on the shore, on the water, okay? He's suspended gravity. He took the laws of buoyancy and changed them. So he walked on the water, and if they weren't looking, he would have what? Passed by. Folks, there's so many things that God comes right to us, and we allow him to pass by because we're not looking. And then when we find him, we're surprised that he's there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's passing by. They thought he was a ghost. And they welcome him into the ship. And then the last part of this miracle was, as soon as he got in the ship, it says immediately, they were halfway, the other half of the trip, they were on the shore. So those were tests of faith. Is a test just to find faith to follow? It's a test to find faith when your physical needs are not being met. It's a test to find faith when you think there's no hope. And so that was John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. So tonight, looking for bread. Looking for bread. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 48 tonight. And the issue here is that the type of bread you're looking for reveals your heart. It reveals your priority. It reveals what you want. So, tonight there are four different sections in this passage. In verses 22 through 26, Christ is not about respite. Now, what is respite? Respite is a temporary satisfaction of a physical need. You don't get long-lasting effects. And folks, that's kind of like a lot of people. Christ is good enough for them for a short period of time, but not for the long haul. And so, in verses 22 and 23, we see this crowd. They have sent the crowd away. Word got out what just happened on the mountainside the day before. All these people come looking for a what? A free lunch. And it says here in verses 22 and 23, it says, the day following. So now, they're on the northern shore, northeastern shore. The disciples, everybody there, everybody else is in Capernaum. Jesus and the disciples are in Capernaum because they crossed the Sea of Galilee. It says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat. So they knew, just breaking up the crowd, they knew where Jesus went. He saw him go up in the mountain. They saw the disciples go down the boat. So they knew where others was going. It says, but his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh to the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. So, this word got out, and so all this crowd comes back to the place. You need to go where Jesus is.
Amen.
Not where Jesus was.
Amen.
That was the past. This is a new day. And these people are looking for what? More of the same. People's faith often is, God, you give me this, and that's good enough for me. I don't want to go beyond that. We're supposed to be changed from glory to glory. We're supposed to grow in faith. We're supposed to add to our faith all diligently to all this. And so, these people were looking for what? They were looking for another miracle of bread. They were looking for bread, but not the right type. They were looking for bread that they could eat. They were looking for more of the same. James chapter 4 verse 13 says this, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, and God is nowhere in that plan. These people, they weren't following God. They were following the breadcrumbs. They were following the bread. They didn't care about God. They just wanted to be fed. They just wanted more of the same. Folks, more of the same will be a dead church. More of the same will be a dead faith because you're not growing. And anything that's not growing is dead. So they were just looking for more of the same. Now, in verses 24 through 25, they failed to understand why they didn't have it their way. So they come back to the same place, not where Jesus is, but where Jesus was, expecting something. They say, well, they went that way, so guess what they did? They followed him. That's a good thing, but that's not following Jesus. For Jesus' sake, that's following Jesus for your sake. Because you want something. You want more of what you had before. So in verses 24 through 25, it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Okay? So is that boat's gone? They're not going to go downstream from the lake, the Sea of Galilee. They're going to go across. They're going to go across. Why? Because Passover was nigh. It would be easier to walk down the coast than to go down the Sea of Galilee. And when they had found him, it's a good thing to look for Jesus. But when you find truth, when you find Jesus, what are you going to do? And so it's here, it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him this. Now look at what they said. Rabbi, why are you here? Why aren't you over there where we spent our effort to go and get more food and you weren't there? We want more of the same. You shouldn't be there. You should be here. You should be over there. And isn't that what a lot of people do? Jesus meets them on their terms, do their needs, and there's no faith in it at all. And all they want is they want rest. They want to relax and not have to work. Free bread! Governments do that. God does that with grace and mercy. But faith is something that we have to work at. Okay? We have to show. We talked about that Sunday morning. Faith that does not save is faith that is just by itself. By just empty words. Something's missing. So, they were just looking for more of the same the next day. And they failed to understand why they didn't have their... Jesus, why are you over here? You should be over there. Christ tells the crowd several times. In Luke chapter 7, verses 31 through 32... And the Lord said, unto them shall I liken the men of this generation. And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplaces and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. I know, and you probably know people too, that they basically say, Jesus, I command you to go do what I want you to do. I told you I needed this, and therefore I'm going to get it this way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So they come over, they approach Jesus. And in verse 26, their motivation is revealed. Now, they don't speak it. Jesus tells them what it was all about. Jesus answered them and said, what was the question? Why are you over here when you ought to be over there? Okay? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. This is even lower. Not to see the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You wanted an easy meal. You wanted an easy way. You wanted an easy life. That's not faith, folks. That's not faith. Christ is not about temporarily fulfilling your needs. He can. But those people are like, in the parable of the seed and the sower, they're like the shallow grounds. Seed goes out, they see it, they springs up real quick, there's no root, and when it doesn't go their way, they leave the faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, talks about carnality, or basically wanting to feed your flesh. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who what? Mind earthly things. Who mind earthly things. So the question here is, where's their heart? Their heart is not in the spiritual realm. Their heart is not in the eternal realm. Their heart is in the physical realm, wanting their needs to be met their way. They want God to be their servant and not to be the servant of God. So Christ is not about respite. In verses 27 through 31, Christ is not about religion. In verse 27, eternity needs to be the outlook. Now, it doesn't take long for Christ with Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the man with the man that had the infirmity for 38 years, people in the temple. He gets right off of this near thing and goes right for eternity. And he says, in verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto what? Everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He says, you're not coming to look for the Son of God. You're not even coming for the miracles. You're just coming for the bread. And you're going to fall not just short, you're going to fall way short in eternity. Because all you're looking is for a temporary fix to your immediate problem. And so eternity needs to be the outlook. Effort or works on your part is not the answer. So, how many times have you asked someone to do something and you're impatient with it, or you don't get the right result, and you say, just get out of the way, out of life. Do it myself. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do that we can make this bread multiply? We're not looking at eternity here. So what can we do so we can do what you're doing so we can have more rest? They didn't care about eternity. They weren't looking for that. And here's the problem. It's not the answer. Romans chapter 9, verse 32 says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So they're talking, they're demanding from the Son of God to meet their physical needs. They miss it. Eternity needs to be the outlook. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Christ says, don't lay up treasure on earth where rust and moth is corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay yourself up what? Treasures in heaven. His first message was about the kingdom of heaven is like this. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. So eternity needs to be the outlook. There's a lot of religion out there, man's way of doing things, that won't, I guarantee you, it won't get you there. There's a lot of religions out there where it's all about their effort. They're trying to please someone or something. Something gets you there. Verses 29 through 31, Christ brings us to a point. He says, examination of what you see is necessary. What you see ought to get down in your heart, change the way you think. Change the way you believe. Change what you want. Verses 29 and 31 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on the miracles, that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe on getting fed, that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe on all these things that's happening here so you realize that I am the Messiah. And we've seen this in chapter 2. We see it in chapter 3. We see it in chapter 4. We see it in chapter 5. We're seeing it in chapter 6. See in chapter 1, 2. Every chapter, that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. He's God in the flesh. They said, therefore, unto him. They don't get it. What sign showest thou them? Really? You've got to be kidding me. You don't remember yesterday? Where all you were fed with something that's not enough for more than a boy. And now you're asking for what? There's a lot of people today who want God to do this great miracle. And if they don't, if God doesn't do what they want to do, he won't be God to them. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Incredible. Incredible. Sounds like my master. Okay? What does thou work? And he said, this bread's nothing. And now it gets into this issue of manna. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What were they interested in? Food. They were interested in bread. And then it gets into this issue of manna. John chapter 14, verse 11, we sort of see this contrast, this conflict all the way through this book. Christ cries out, he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What will it take to convince you that Jesus is God? That's the point. You have to be convinced that Jesus is God. You're missing the whole point. Go and look outside. Look up in the stars. Look at you. Look at how intricate you are. Look at all these things in order. Look how man messes it up. Do you need any more proof than that? So Christ is not about the way we think or religion. Christ is about regeneration. Christ is about quickening. Verses 32 through 40. So Christ sees this, Jesus sees this manna thing. And he's going to tell them things that they don't like. And if you think this week is one thing, wait till next week when we finish the chapter up. First of all, in verse 32, you need to have the right perspective of man. It says that Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses didn't give you that bread. Because they attributed that manna to God responding to what Moses asked for, which is true in a sense, but that it's not like Moses didn't abandon them. God knew their needs. They were out in the middle of the desert with nothing. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but what? My Father. Okay, so he says, my Father, which means Jesus is who? The Son of God. Okay? Giving you the true bread from heaven. Oh, by the way, you know what this means? I was there. You missed the entire perspective on this manna thing. The person of man is me. In verse 33, for Not that little wafer thing that looked like frost on the ground. For the bread of God is what? He, me, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, let's go back in time to the woman at the well. Jesus asked her to what? Give me a drink. She says, how can you do that? You don't have a bucket. Jesus says, I'll give you, ask me and I'll give you living water. You'll never thirst again. And she says, that's a great thing. I'll never have to come back to this well again. Thinking in the physical, not in the eternal. Thinking of him just another man, not the Son of God. The problem of manna. They had to go out every day, right? And get it. There were some rules on it. They didn't follow those rules. Because they were greedy. John 6:34 says this. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They're looking down here. Christ is talking to them up here. He's talking about eternity. They're talking about physical satisfaction of their appetite. Nope. You've got a problem here. The problem is you want God just to meet your physical needs. As long as he meets your physical needs, that's good enough for us. And God's got to do it everywhere I go. When I say, where I say, what I say. Wrong. Wrong. So we see the perspective of manna, we see the pretty person of manna, we see the problem of manna, but then here in verses 35 through 37, we see the promise of Christ. Now I'm going to go quickly through this because next week is more in depth on the same subject. But in verses 35 through 37, it says, that Jesus said unto them, if you didn't catch that first thing about my Father, if you didn't catch that first thing about the bread of God is he. Get this. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. They are not getting the answers that they want. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that cometh and believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye have seen me, ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now wait a second. You think about this? They came to Jesus. But they came to Jesus for the what? The wrong reasons. You come to Jesus for what? Salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need shall be what? Shall be added unto you. That's the promise of Christ. The promise of Christ is also his purpose. In verse 38, for I came down from heaven. Oh. Christ said, I'm not like you and me. You. You and you and you and you and you. I'm not like all of you. Okay? I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the what? The will of him that sent me. Once again, he's claiming he is the what? The Son of God. And is also the plan of God, verses 39 through 40. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. That God that got you out of Egypt, that God that parted the Red Sea, that God that gave you water in the wilderness, that God that gave you manna in the wilderness, that God that gave you so many quail that you didn't know what to do with, that God that gave you victory over your enemies, that God that parted the River Jordan, that God that made the walls of Jericho fall down, that God that gave you the promised land that you didn't deserve, that God that got rid of all your enemies in front of you, he said, I'm him. You need to believe this. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the what? Last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, what did they ask for? Show us a sign. Christ said, you saw the miracle yesterday. Who did that? You didn't. I created. God is the creator. Now you're asking for more? I'm standing right in front of you. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Christ is about regeneration. He doesn't care as much for your physical needs as he cares enough for your spiritual needs. He loved us so much, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. But have everlasting life. Now the final thought tonight is that Christ is not about fitting into your reality. So everybody, yay! We found him! Yeah! It's here! Yes! Let's all follow Jesus! Let's all believe in him! Let's all go to heaven! That's what happened, right? Nope. Verses 41 to 43, stop murmuring. Have you ever been in class or someplace, maybe in church, and hear something, people start talking? So Christ is talking, and all this murmuring comes up. Murmuring here means a discontent. You're talking because you're discontent with what you're hearing. Now just wait. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. In verses 41 through 43, it says that Jesus, then the Jews then murmured at him because he's dead. Finally, that, at least they listened. They caught what he was saying because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. But they can't wrap their minds around this because they're locked in the physical. You cannot live the Christian life locked in the physical. It's a spiritual thing. Verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus the son of who? Joseph. Christ said, my father, I came from heaven. Joseph's not my dad. Okay. They said, is not this Joseph, the son of Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? You know, Nicodemus asked the question, how can this be? The woman at the well, how can this be? The religious leaders, when the guy is walking on the Sabbath day carrying his bed, how can this be? The men out of the Samaritan city where they hear Jesus and they all get repent. They all repent. They realized it. Here's a bunch of people that just got fed. They took the effort to come over to him, but they don't see it. How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now, they really needed a history lesson. Paul gives them a history lesson in 1 Corinthians 10:10, where he talks about the Korah and all those rising up against Moses and murmuring against Moses. He said, you take too much on yourself. We'll see. And they forgot that the earth opened up, swallowed them up. And everything else was murmur. When they murmured, they forgot about the fiery serpents that came through and then had made a great thing. Keep from dying. They forgot that all the times in the wilderness that the people murmured, bad things happened. And here they are. Here they are murmuring against the Son of God. And we see God's compassion. We see His patience and His long-suffering. We see His mercy here. So, last point. We need to see and believe Messiah for who He is. He said, see and believe Messiah for who He is. Now, in chapter 5, He's already talked about He's going to raise up. He's the resurrection. So in verse 44, it says, we need to understand that the Messiah is the resurrection. Okay? And it says here, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. If you didn't catch that message in verse 40, you better catch it in verse 44. Because Christ is repeating himself because they're not getting it. So he says, I am the resurrection. You need to see me for who I am and for what I can do. You need to see me as the Son of God. In verses 45 through 47, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So if you're following me, if you're not following me, you're in your religion, you're in your sins, you're on your way to hell, and you need to change your direction. You need to change your perspective. You need to get off this Moses stuff and this law stuff and start understanding about grace, because I'm full of grace and truth. Verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. I've seen the Father, and I am the Father. And this is not Star Wars. Okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and that's only the Son of God can. See and believe the Messiah for who He is. He's the resurrection. See and believe the Messiah for who He is. He's the Son of God. See and believe the Messiah for who He is. He is the bread of life. And I'll close with verse 48. I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. And now it gets into the last part. That's the next one. Would it have been an amazing thing to be in that crowd and see this, knowing what we know, having faith in what we're doing, instead of being like all those people that were denying Christ right there? We need the bread of life. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your opportunity. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, showed people that He was doing things that only God could do. The crowd rejected Him, crucified Him on a cross in place of a murderer, because He paid the sin debt for all of us on the cross. For the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. He was buried for 3 days. Rose again the third day to show that He has power over death, power over sin, sits on the right hand of God, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come by me, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And I'll give you eternal life if you just ask for me for forgiveness of your sins and accept my gift of eternal life. That's the bread of life. Folks, we need to feed on that as believers. We need to have that change our life. And not look for respite, but look for a relationship with Christ. Because that's what we need. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to study your word, Father, to hear it. Father, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior, but that this will be the night of their salvation. Father, help us, Lord, to follow you with all our heart and be changed into you, looking like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.